Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. I want to start this segment with a bit of a congratulations to the team. You're our front man on this. Second year in a row, we were recognized.
Yeah.
You're the face of this in the wealth professional.
Right? It's the only picture they could find. I think that's why they put it up there. But yeah, we became the top 50 advisors, number 4 in the country. What a team. We also, like, the last 12 months has been great for us. From a recognition perspective, I think last year we were in the top 6. This year we're in the top 4. Our team became, as an advisory team, in the top 9 in the country from the wealth professional group. So it's our peers and others that are voting in how we've been doing and so forth. So there, you know, kudos to the team. Without a great team that we have, we wouldn't be recognized the way are. So again, congratulations to the entire team.
Let's talk a little bit about markets for a minute.
Okay.
So we ended last year. We ended last year with a lot of volatility. It scared a lot of people, right? Equity markets worldwide in December really took a tumble.
Yep.
Balanced portfolios, you know, slightly negative, not catastrophic, but it was really scary because there was a lot of sharp moves in the market, 1,000-point moves.
Yeah,
right?
And it was a 20% drop in such a short period of time,
right,
where people haven't seen that for a while.
Right.
Right, they haven't seen that big drop. And last time people would remember that would have been in Canada in 2015.
Right.
We had the same type of fear in late 2015. People were calling us saying, I need to get a second look at my portfolio.
Yeah.
We're getting the same thing now.
Well, and what's interesting last year is we had sharp volatility. We had a very aggressive contraction in equity markets. But there was no place to hide. You had bond markets affected. 93% of the world assets fell. First time in 100 years that's happened. That's, it was a really strange year. So
yep.
People got spooked.
Correct.
The result of that, in many cases, is that they made emotional decisions and exited the equity markets.
Yes.
Okay? Got out. So, start the new year. January's been pretty good. Equity markets are going higher. I want to get back in. Those are the conversations now.
Yep.
Should we be getting back in?
Can I give you my answer normally that I give? It depends.
Yes, it does.
The answer is always it depends. And people hate when I answer it in that method.
We're going to go through. Let's go through this thought process.
Okay.
I've got feelings
start.
About that as
you
well.
You start. Go for
okay?
it.
So it does depend. Last year, last quarter of last year, last 6 weeks of last year was gut check time. I call it gut check time.
Yep.
Okay. How uncomfortable were you if you weren't sleeping through that pullback?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That might indicate that the amount of risk you're carrying in your strategy was not correct.
Okay.
Okay. Nobody has problem with volatility on the way up. It's great. It's fun. It's on the way down, right? So it's a gut check. This was an opportunity to go back and to think about it. Now, can equity markets fall 20% again?
Absolutely.
Of course they can. And they will.
And they should.
And
not
they
today.
Right.
But they should.
Right.
Because that's a normal drop in the market. This is where people are missing out on what's normal. So let me give you the example. I mentioned this to one of our clients. I said, he's not from Calgary, so I could say this. I go, you come to Calgary, and on a Monday, it's minus 20.
Yeah.
On the Tuesday, it's plus 9.
Yeah.
And what do you say to me? He goes, that's crazy. I go, no, that's normal. That's Calgary.
Yeah, that's right.
That's normal. And any Calgarian who's been here long enough will tell you, we can go from minus 20 to plus 9 in 2 days. That's normal.
Yeah.
Expect that in Calgary.
Yeah.
Expect the same numbers in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
That's normal. Minus 20, plus 9, all over the place. Same thing happens.
Okay.
Right? It's normal. And it's hard for people who are foreign to the land of investing, mm-hmm. even though they've been there, to see that kind of volatility.
Okay. So we got people that were distinctly uncomfortable and sold equities. Okay. Should they get back in? That's the question, right? Because what's happening typically is there's a capitulation point. We talk about this all the time. We see this in the retail investment environment. These are the disastrous mistakes that can compound over time. I sell, okay, at some point when I'm distinctly uncomfortable, which tends to be pretty close to a low, and then I'm buying back in after the rally and the recoveries happen at somewhere closer to the highs.
Yep.
Right? We talked like, a couple of weeks ago, we did a show on market timing, how precise you have to be.
Correct.
To win that game, right? That's a hope strategy. Maybe there's somebody out there that can do it. I don't know anybody, but maybe there's somebody out there that can do it, but it'd be few and far between.
Okay.
So here we are. Things look great again. Markets are going up. Now I've got FOMO. I'm missing out again.
Fear of missing out.
Right?
Yep.
I got out when I was scared, and now I'm missing out again. Now what do I do? I think this is a strategy conversation. Okay? You cannot, people, investors cannot flip-flop.
I'm curious of what changed.
It's going up. It's going up, man.
Yeah, but there was a reason why you got out, because it was going down.
Correct.
So only get me in when things are going up and get me out when things are going down. You're going to lose money time and time again on that strategy.
Because you're going to do that, right? Capitulate.
You're going to sell at the wrong time and you're going to buy at the wrong time. And therefore, you're going to take out the highs and the lows. And you're going to miss out on the great opportunities that being at the low has. And if this is the low, I don't even know that.
No, we don't.
I don't even know that. Don't. But it scares me when people who sold out in December are coming in January, such a quick period in time, and saying, now I want in.
Right.
And I wonder what the strategy is behind that. And so now that we've learned what we've learned, okay, you shouldn't have sold because you would have been where you're at right now.
Right.
What did you learn? And what did you get out of it? And what are you going to do differently next time?
Yeah, well, here's the problem. This isn't the first time we've gone through these things, right? It's repetitive. And if you're listening and you're that person, ask yourself and honestly answer, have you done this before, right? This is the emotional, these are the emotional decisions that affect people, right? It's like being a surgeon and doing surgery on your kid. You don't do that for a reason because you're emotionally attached to it.
Correct.
People are emotionally attached to their money. It's significant. I get it. But the conversations I've been having over the past couple of weeks for people who got really nervous through that period and now want to come back in is I get on my whiteboard. I love working on the whiteboard. And I do up the math for them, right? So we look at the asset allocation. We put it out. We give some forecasts, some ups and downs, and so on and so forth. And I say the trick, the magic dust in this conversation is we have to find the point on the growth the growth bucket only, okay? The income bucket's not affected by the volatility in equity markets. For the growth bucket, we got to find the point at which we can keep you fully invested in your strategy through the ups and the downs.
I'll say it time and time again. It is not timing the market.
Right.
It's time in the market that will work.
Right.
And that growth bucket is designed for a 10-year point for a particular reason.
Mm-hmm.
There is rationale behind a 10-year growth bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Don't market time your growth bucket.
Mm-hmm. And don't have accurate expectations, right? Do the math on the downside. Again, nobody has any trouble with the upside. Do the math on the downside. If you own equities over time, you own stocks. There's some stock in your portfolio. Okay, something will go down. It will go down.
Yeah. So there's a chart that I'm thinking of that I show some clients over any 1 year period in the U.S. stock market.
Yeah.
Okay, 78% of the time, you are making money in the U.S. stock market.
Yeah, you're talking about your Andex chart, I think, that we were talking about.
So I think I have it here. Actually, here it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So 78% of the time you're making money in the stock market in the U.S. 74% of the time you're making money in the Canadian market over any 1 year period. That means there's a 1 in 4 chance approximately or 1 in 5 chance that you're going to lose money. You're going to lose money.
Well, hang on. Don't even say lose money. This is what I think people get confused about, where the portfolio is down.
But I'm just talking about one year in time. That's it, right?
Yeah.
It's down.
You'll be down.
Your
portfolio
will be down. It's down if you sell. It's a loss if you sell, and I get that. But you'll be down.
Yes.
Now, when you take it out to 5 years, the U.S. stock market has 87% of the time of making a profit or a positive return.
Right.
And it's about 96% of the time the Canadian market. Just holding on for 4 more years increases your probability.
Right.
And in history, over any 10-year period, now I'm going back from 1935 to the end of 2017. I'm still going to get the 2018 data. But there has never been a 10-year period that the Canadian stock market has gone negative.
Right.
So if you've got that, I'm not saying it's never going to happen in the future, but that's a good
probability.
Yeah, there's
a high probability. Right.
It's a good probability
that's
of
exactly
that happening. Right.
Yeah.
So why would you have an investment strategy of 1 year period or a 2 year period when you should have a 10-year period for your growth investments and for your income investments? They shouldn't be growth oriented.
Right.
They should be income payouts.
That's right.
That's why we have two different buckets. So I think when people start to market time or get in, get out because of emotion, they need to sit back and go over the strategy again.
Right. You have to go over the strategy. You got to stay invested through the full amount because it's too precise. We've done those numbers about how accurate you have to be a market timer. Now, this is all education, right? We got to educate people about this. People have to understand this. There's lots of work to do. We're going to start that process again next month at our February seminar.
Yep, February 19th at the Oak Ridge Co-op Wine, Spirits, and Beer. Now, our 7 p.m. session is fully booked. We have an 8:30 session that we're opening up. So go to our website at morethanmoneyradio.com or give us a call at 966-8400 to register.
Okay, let me remind everybody as we sign off on another show that you can access any of our past segments on morethanmoneyradio.com, or you can have them directly delivered to you every single week, and all you have to do is search for More Than Money CHQR on Apple Podcast or in your favorite podcast app. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR.
David Popowicz and Faisal Karmeli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowicz and Faisal Karmeli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.